A few years ago, friends, we had a beautiful nativity scene outside the church here. Beautiful. Mother told me that every day without fail, her little daughter would want to come and see baby Jesus. And so the mom used to bring the child and come every day to have a look at baby Jesus. And one day the child came here and was devastated because somebody had stolen baby Jesus. And to me, that was like just the best. That was a cute story right there. Someone had stolen baby Jesus. And as we prepare for Christmas, I often wondered if perhaps we have allowed the Savior to be stolen from our celebration. For example, in the attempt to be politically correct, Merry Christmas has been replaced by Happy Holidays. Have you noticed that the question, are you ready for Christmas, is often code for, have you done all your shopping? But for us who love the Lord Jesus, for us who love God, friends, Christmas is an awesome time of the year, a time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we declare with the hymn writer, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, the first thing I want to say about Christmas is that it is a time to celebrate God's peace. Christmas. The very word brings joy to our hearts. It's a classic true story with all the right ingredients. Words like love and joy and peace and goodwill are familiar with to everyone who knows the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. With these words, the multitude of heavenly hosts or angels praise God at the time of the miraculous birth of Jesus. And that still rings true today, friends. The true meaning of Christmas is all about God loving us. It is about God giving the most amazing and spectacular gift to reconcile the world to himself. One of our favorite Christmas carols is the one I mentioned. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This is one of the most joyous and loved Christmas carols of all time, friends. Eh? Because it makes so real what Christ's birth means to all of mankind. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is indeed a time to celebrate God's peace. Secondly, Christmas is a time when we celebrate God's love. Historically, Christmas commemorates the birth of Jesus, but theologically, Christmas is a celebration of the incarnation of God in human form for the reconciliation of humanity to God. The heart of Christmas is God showing his great love for us. The whole superstructure of Christianity rests on the reality of Christmas. The word incarnation literally means the act of assuming flesh, whereby the Son of God voluntarily assumed a human body and nature. Skinner put it this way: God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. A theologian described the incarnation with these words: God must be able to come over to our side without leaving his own side. An astronaut, James Irwin, who traveled to the moon, experienced things that you and I will never. He said, he got to the crux of Christmas when he said, there's something more important than man walking on the moon, and that is God walking on the earth. Max Lucado is a well-known author. He captures this indescribable incarnation in his book called God Came Near when he wrote this. And I'll read a little extract from the book. That particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man, while the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself up and placed her most precious one in a human womb. The omnipotent, in an instant, made himself breakable. He who had been a spirit was now pierceable. He was larger than the universe, who was larger than the universe, became an embryo. And he who sustains the word, the world with a word, chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young teenage girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in the womb, the creator of life being created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God had come near. Isn't that wonderful? That is the incarnation of God. God became a person. The most famous statement in the Bible is John's explanation of why God sent Jesus to earth. In John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, or he loved the world so much, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We learn this from the angel's opening statement to the shepherds of Bethlehem, Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. We bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The good news of Christmas, friends, is worth celebrating for three reasons. It is personal news. I bring you. It is positive news. Good news of great joy. It is universal news for all the people. It doesn't matter, friends, who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or where you're heading to. This good news is for you. And the good news is God loves you. Isn't that precious? God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Like Romans 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates. He demonstrates. He didn't just say it. He showed it. He demonstrated it. How? He demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that something, friends? That says God loves you. Christmas is indeed a time to celebrate God's love. Thirdly, Christmas is a time when we acknowledge God's presence. We acknowledge God's presence. God loves you. Not only does God love you, but God is with you and God is for you. So his birth brought great joy to the world of God's presence with us. Why? The angel of the Lord announced that you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Shepherds and wise men and angels all shared the excitement of knowing about this great event. They knew this was not an ordinary baby. The prophets had told of his coming, his birth, hundreds of years before. The angel Gabriel announced his arrival. The angelic host sang a wonderful chorus for him. The brightest star marked his presence. The wise men came to worship him. The shepherds came to honor him. The priests knew from scripture he was coming. And yet Jerusalem and Herod the king was troubled at his coming. Jesus' birth was the incarnation of God on earth, opening the door, friends, to new hope and eternal life. His mission was to redeem the earth, to save mankind from their sins. That is why God sent Jesus. His mission was to save us from our sins. However, his coming into the world was not the beginning of Jesus. There was no Jesus, but oh, there's he in the manger. No. John says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Friends, he was the Word that was in the beginning. He came from eternity. He always was and is the eternal God. He temporarily laid aside his glory, took a body through the Virgin Mary to live long enough to die for the sins of the world, to finish the work of redemption. Christmas is indeed a time to acknowledge God's presence. Fourthly, Christmas is a time to accept God's salvation. Luke 2, verse 11. The angel said to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Matthew 1:21, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph concerning Mary, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that wonderful, friends? What a message from heaven to a world weary of life and sick with sin. Unto you is born a Savior. Whoever you are, whatever your sins are, friends, there is salvation for you. The Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do things that does not please God. We are all born with a sinful nature. We need that to be removed. And the only way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of Christ, and he is the reason for the season. C.S. Lewis said, and I quoted this last week, he said, the Son of God became a man so that men may become the sons of God. Now, that is the true meaning of Christmas, friends. And it's something worth celebrating. Jesus came so he could die on the cross for all of our sins. Jesus was born so one day the price could be paid for the things we have done that are wrong. If we believe, friends, that Jesus died for our sins, we can ask him to come into our hearts and forgive us. Then we will be clean and made whole. In 1 John 1 verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that marvelous? We can know that heaven is a place we can go to, friends, when this life is over. Christmas is indeed a time to accept God's gift of salvation. And lastly, Christmas is a time to express our gratitude, our thankfulness for God's grace. For God's grace. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. Or another version says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Friends, Christmas is a time to appreciate what God has done for us in Christ, a time of thanksgiving and remembering God's grace and love and kindness and mercy and goodness. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, Paul put it so beautifully right. He said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Okay. Friends, when our hopes crash, our dreams die, Christmas is a time when we can be revived, where we can bring us happiness and glorious hope to us, friends. With Christ in the heart of a man, then light begins to shine where darkness was before. Ignorance gives place to the beginning of wisdom. Impurity is replaced by purity. Hatred ends and love begins to blossom forth. Friends, Christmas began in the heart of God. It is only complete when it reaches the heart of man. Christmas is indeed a time to express our gratitude for God's grace. In conclusion, in our upside down world, don't let anything or anyone steal Jesus Christ from your Christmas. He loves you more than you can imagine. Christmas is real history. Or let me say it slowly. Christmas is real, his story, but it must become your story. You see that, friends? Let me say in Luke 2, verse 11, let's just slow this whole verse down. Today, that means right now, in the town of David, a savior, one who forgives sins, has been born to you, personally. He is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one. Christ, the Lord, the Master, the Ruler, the Owner. Now let me read it as it is on the screen. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I want to close with three questions. Is he Savior to you? Is he Christ to you? Is he Lord to you? I love what Corrie ten Boom once said. She said, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. It's time to make sure, friends, that Jesus is born in you. That Jesus is born in you, friends. This is Christmas. What a wonderful time. Let's pray. If you want to pray this prayer in your heart, I will pray and you can pray in your heart. You can do so right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, even when I feel unlovable. I don't understand how you can accept me when I don't measure up. I confess that I am a sinner and I want to turn from the way I've been living. I need you to be my Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I desire to live under your lordship for the rest of my life. Thank you for not only being born, but for dying in my place and rising again so that I can be born again. I now receive the gift of salvation and forgiveness by asking you to come into my life. Make me into the person you want me to be. Enable me to adore you for the rest of my life. Amen.